Good morning. It's Saturday, February 28th, 2026. I'm Ted Rall. That's John Kiriakou. You're watching a special extra unscheduled edition of The Program with Ted Rall and John Kiriakou. As you probably already know, this morning, the United States and Israel have launched a war against Iran. The president is calling for the overthrow of the Iranian government, and the casualty figures are already quite high. Bomb blasts have been felt throughout Tehran. John, I'm sorry to see you on Saturday morning under such circumstances, but it's good to see you.
Ted, my friend Jeannie just texted me from Florida to say that the Dish Network has blocked Al Jazeera from broadcasting here in the United States. They don't want us to see what's happening in the Middle East. We know from CNN and from other sources, New York Times is reporting that that an Israeli missile hit a girls' school in southern Iran this morning, killing 57 children. So get used to that. That's going to be what this war looks like. The Israelis don't give a shit about human life, about civilians, and we're going to see a lot of civilian casualties. On the flip side, the Iranians said days ago, even as long as a week ago, that if there were going to be an attack, they would strike U.S. Assets around the Persian Gulf. They have done exactly that. They have hit the U.S. military base in Kuwait. They've hit the center of Manama, Bahrain, the capital of Bahrain. They've hit Abu Dhabi. There was a missile intercepted over Dubai. This is a real war. This isn't going to be just, you know, a back and forth tete-a-tete over the next 24 hours. This is a conflagration.
That's how I see it, too. I mean, I don't see it any other way. But the president is predicting, or the administration, I should say, is predicting just a few days of conflict. I don't see how that's possible. I mean, with the Iranians...
Peace in Ukraine by now, so the Iranians, 24 hours for that.
Right. Well, the Iranians are engaged in an existential battle for their government and for their country. And for they don't want to go the way of Venezuela and become a vassal state. They're going to fight back hard with everything they've got, and that's inevitably going to cause the United States and Israel to play the victim, even though they started all this. Yeah. And they're going to say, look at what the dastardly Iranians did. We have to retaliate, even though, you know, they're the ones that should be retaliated against.
Ted, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Donald Trump said last night that this was going to be a massive, his words, a massive and ongoing military campaign. And he also called it major combat operations. Now, those words have very specific meanings in war. That means troops on the ground.
That is
Did
what
he
it means.
Did he mean that? Or is he just talking?
I don't know. I don't know how much he's been briefed on, you know, what the appropriate vocabulary is here. You know, he's not a man of careful language and parsing language. So, with him, you have to kind of read less into it than you would with a normal president, I think is fair to say, right? It's hard to imagine U.S. troops on the ground in Iran. What does that look like? I mean, it's, you and I have talked about this many times, John. It is a massive country. It's
massive.
The Iranian people may or may not like their government. It's not the most popular government, but what's a lot less popular is the idea of a U.S. occupation or invasion. They don't want that. And John, I have a question for you. Do you think, what's the calculus here for Donald Trump and the U.S. government and his administration? I mean, why is he doing Netanyahu's bidding so slavishly?
You know, I think that deep down, Donald Trump is an authoritarian. I think that he enjoys looking like a military strongman. And I think that he doesn't actually believe in anything. I don't think he believes in MAGA, you know, no war. I don't think he has any core beliefs. Hmm. And I think that he thought that a quick decapitation strike, the Iranians would be dancing in the streets, thanking him and thanking God. And he would go down in history as Teddy Roosevelt. And that's just simply not going to happen. It was never going to happen.
No.
But he was the only one that thought that it would.
Yikor Huskov, John, thanks for the fiber. Do you think the Iranians can utilize maritime drones to defeat U.S. ships in the same way the Ukrainians disabled the Russian fleet in the Black Sea?
You know, that's a good question, and it's a hard question to answer. If they have enough drones, yeah, they can make an impact. You know, ships are notoriously excellent at defending themselves from incoming threats. Mm-hmm. But a ship has only so many defensive missiles on it. If you send a drone against a ship, as the Iranians did a week ago, we're going to shoot it down. If you send 500 drones against a ship, you can't shoot all of them down.
It's so basically these are like remote controlled. Well, they're torpedoes, basically.
Yeah, they're essentially slow motion torpedoes. That's right.
I like this question, Cameron. John, if you're still inside the CIA, what would be the single most alarming indicator you'd be watching right now?
The movement of ground forces. You know, we only have, I'm going to say, 50,000 troops in the region. You can't invade a country of 92 million people with 50,000 troops. If we started moving hundreds of thousands of troops to bases in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, the United Arab Emirates, I would be genuinely worried. And there's also talk of taking the only other active aircraft carrier strike force battle group that we have and moving it to the region. That would frighten me.
John, how would most of the CIA be reacting to all this? Scared, excited, genuinely curious?
That's a great question. My experience during the Iraq war that people put their heads down and did as they were told. I remember my boss telling an assembled group, we're not here to take a political position one way or another, because we all opposed the Iraq war. He said, we're not here to take a political position one way or another. We are not a policy organization. We're a policy support organization. And so we are going to do what we are told by the White House to do. And my guess is they've had the same conversation today.
Could this war expose U.S. and Israeli military weaknesses while driving America's main rivals, Russia and China, closer? Those are
absolutely yes. And may I add something about that?
Please.
When Iran sent the 600 drones last October and the vaunted Iron Dome shot all of them out of the sky except for seven, the fact that seven slow motion drones got through the Iron Dome was very valuable military intelligence.
Yeah, it was a probing attack, basically.
It was a probing attack. And so the Iranians
The Israelis knew it was coming, too.
That's right. So what do the Israelis do if the Iranians launch a hypersonic against them?
Which they probably will.
I would if I were Iran.
I would. Why not? Trump, the master of distraction and the most fickle leader in history, I'm truly worried. How long will this go on? Do you think Iran will need to bow down for it to end?
I think they're in it to the death.
That's what I think too. I think this is like Iraq. It's it's really bad. Look, in terms of Trump's popularity, John, this is only going to hurt for one big reason. There's been no run up to this war, right? There's been no lube before he stuck it in, which is part of the reason that he snuck it in on a Friday night news dump. I mean, the American people have not been told that Iran threatens them, has WMDs, is going to kill them or their friends or anything like that. I mean, there's been no prep at all. This isn't at all like the Bush administration started scheming on 9/12 for an invasion that came a year and a half later against Iraq. Afghanistan was easier because, again, the people forget that the groundwork for invading Afghanistan had already been laid from a propaganda point of view a year or two earlier because of all the reports of the Taliban blowing up the Bamiyan statues and all that, and like the treatment of women. There was already the bombing of the USS Cole in 2000, the embassy bombings in Kenya and Tanzania in 1998. So the American people already thought of Afghanistan as a bete noire. They don't think of Iran as a bete noire. They used to after the hostage crisis. But that was half a century ago.
Two generations ago.
Yeah, it's just not true anymore. Young Locke, thanks for the dollar. Sending you this message from Ireland. I hope these strikes are wrong. Sorry, not I hope. These strikes are wrong and wholly indefensible. I hope the American people have the good sense to vote against this in November and in 2028, because this is awful. My problem, John, is who would they vote for? I mean, the Democratic Party is not going to say anything sizable against this. They're not against the war or attacking Iran. They're just they're against the fact that they haven't been brought into the briefings.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's it right there.
And you know, they didn't invite us to the war party.
And Newsom is pro-Israel, and Shapiro not only is pro-Israel, but served in the Israeli military. There's not a single Democrat
that were dropped on Gaza.
Yeah, exactly. There's not a single Democrat running for president who is not pro-Israel. And you can say exactly the same thing about the Republicans.